Let's pray as we begin. Lord God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your word to us and how you revealed yourself, your grace, your love, and your will for us in your word. And so we pray that you would equip us as we look at this Bible passage and that you would draw us evermore into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. A number of years ago, I was driving to work at the cafe on a cool winter's morning when two motorcyclists pulled out behind me. Now, there was nothing weird or strange about this initially, until one began to swerve side to side. It was as if he was warming up his tyres. And he did this for about a kilometre or so until he swerved too far. His tyres lost traction, the ground gave out way beneath him, and he went sliding off into a ditch into oncoming traffic at about 70 k's per hour. I pulled over to make sure that he was okay. Thankfully, he was fine, just a little bit bruised and a little bit embarrassed. But even more interestingly is that he told me that he was on his way to a defensive driving course. You see, it's one thing to say that you're a defensive driver and even do a course. It's another thing to actually put that all into practice. It's one thing to say that you're a believer in Jesus and that you are a Christian. It's another thing to actually live a life that has changed and has been transformed in the light of his grace. And that's what James is writing about in these verses today. See, claiming that you have faith in Jesus is, well, fine, but this faith must always lead to a changed life with good works. Good works and action is the fruit of faith. And faith without deeds, well, is dead. But before we get stuck into this passage, let's keep a few things in mind initially. We are saved by grace alone through faith alone. That is, we aren't saved by what we do. Our good works don't attract God's salvation. Our good works don't play a role in our salvation. This is made abundantly clear in passages such as Romans 5, verse 1, which says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And passages such as Titus chapter 3, verse 4, which says this, "But when the kindness and love of God appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, not because of good things we have done, but because of his mercy." So then, we aren't saved because of what we do, but we are saved simply because of God's perfect, unending, amazing grace. This isn't a case of, well, I hope that I've done enough good stuff to get into heaven. No, we can be confident because of God's free gift of grace towards us. So today you might be joining us, and this is the first time that you've heard this. And if you haven't yet turned to Jesus and been saved, please do so. Do so freely, not trusting in your own goodness, but in God's goodness and love and mercy. However, we have just seen today from James, verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20, that faith without deeds is useless. And then in verse 24, that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And that verse 26, that faith without deeds is dead. So then, is James contradicting what has been written before? Is James proclaiming some kind of works-based righteousness? No, not at all. James is not saying that we are saved by our action, but he is saying that actions are a natural and necessary outworking of our faith in Jesus. James is simply saying that if we claim we are Christian, then our lives must match up to that. So then, here's where we are headed today. We're going to see that faith without action is dead, that action is the fruit of faith and that faith and action actually work together. So look at me at verse 14. It says this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can such a faith save him? And in the original language, they're expecting the answer, no. It cannot save them, and such faith is not good at all. This may be a little bit hard to hear, a little bit shocking, that faith without action or work or without change is useless. We can get so comfortable into thinking and knowing that we are saved by grace, and that's amazing. We should be able to relax into this. We should be able to be comfortable in this. But sometimes we can get so comfortable that we forget that we are saved in order to serve and glorify God. That we are saved from sin in order to go and sin no more and live for Jesus. Yes, we are saved by grace alone, for God's glory alone, but not for our comfort, not for a life of pious ease on the couch, but saved in order to live for God. This is the principle that James is teasing out in this passage. And to help us with this, he gives us a clear example of a poor brother and sister. This person isn't just poor, as in the purse strings are too tight, but this person doesn't have any decent clothing and doesn't have enough money to purchase food every day. Essentially, James is describing someone who lives in poverty. Now, just imagine that, well, if I was there, just imagine if a person was to walk in the back of this building here today, and they were saying that they needed help, and all I was to do was to say, well, go well, mate. Good luck. I'm sending you good vibes. Keep warm, have some food, see you later, but don't even do anything. What if I was to pray with them even and ask that God would give them clothes and God would give them food, but still not give them anything? What would you think? What would your gut reaction be? It might be along the lines of this. Well, oh, is Michael for real here? Does he really practice what he preaches? What, his word seems a bit shallow. Look at me at verse 15 with this in mind. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Do you see that if words aren't accompanied by action, then these words are just empty, hollow, disingenuous, dead even? What good is it if we have these words but don't do anything? Well, it's useless. It's like having a battery drill without the battery. It's like having a barbecue without gas. It's like having a coffee machine without coffee or water. Useless. Dead. And in the same way, James says in verse 17, look with me, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Friends, if our lips proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour, but this does not produce the fruit of faith and repentance and action, well, then our faith is like this. If we claim to follow Jesus and yet we still live exactly as the world does, then our faith is like this. If we claim that we are a Christian but our way of life has not changed, then our faith is like this. Dead, useless. Now please hear this. This isn't saying that we have to be perfect. This isn't saying that our good works somehow top up our salvation or add to our salvation in any way. But James is saying that our faith in Jesus must naturally lead to us living a life for Jesus. If it doesn't, then our faith is just empty, hypocritical words. Because action is always the fruit of faith. Now, some people have said that faith and action are two different things, that there's no connection. Maybe they're two different gifts. You know, you have the gift of faith, good on you. I have the gift of action, and I can take one and leave the other. But James says that this isn't the case. In his writing, he kind of brings in an imaginary person into the argument, and he writes this in chapter 2, verse 18. Look with me. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, James is kind of mocking his friend here, saying, make visible your faith without your deeds. Go on, make it happen. But actually, you can't really show off faith without deeds. We can't make visible what is hidden. We can't show off faith without deeds because faith without deeds is useless. However, a faith that results in a changed life, a changed allegiance, a new way of living that results in good works is active and alive and visible. And so that's how faith can be proven. That's how faith can be seen. That's how real faith works. It produces the fruit of good works. Now, just imagine that you are going to start a garden from scratch. Now, no, this isn't gardening advice from Michael. Don't take gardening advice from me. But imagine that you set up a little nursery, you put some seeds in a little planter box, you make sure that the climate is right, they have enough water. You see, those seeds aren't in there just to look invisible and do nothing. The seeds are in there to produce a plant, to produce fruit. And if there is no fruit, then those seeds are just useless. Similarly, as we've already seen, our faith isn't something that we just mentally assent to or hat tip to and it produces no change. It's not meant to be invisible. No, our faith is there to be shown off, to be made visible in every area of our lives. Our faith is to change the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we use our time, the way that we treat other people, the way that we use our money, the way that we use our bodies, the way that we use every single part of our lives. Our faith is to change that. Our faith is to produce the fruit of good works in every area. Now, no, this shouldn't leave us thinking, gosh, have I got enough fruit? No. Remember, it's not the fruit that saves us. But faith should always produce fruit. Because if we don't, and if our faith remains invisible, James says that we are no better off than demons. Look at me at chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. James here quotes the Shema, which is a Jewish saying. It's a quote from the Torah. And is saying that if they believe this, and if they may even repeat this and say this daily, but don't act on it, they are in just as trouble as the agents of the evil one. And this is a warning to us. This is a warning against nominal or cultural Christianity. This is a warning against the type of faith which says, oh yes, we're a Christian, but only because we ticked a box on the census. Or a version of Christianity that says, yes, of course we're a Christian. I've been going to church all my life. That's just what we do. But has no impact on their lives. This is a warning against a type of Christianity that says, oh yes, we get our kids baptized, so of course we're a Christian. This type of faith is dead. You see, we could have the most perfect doctrine in our heads. We could have the Apostles and Nicene Creeds memorized. We could have the Confessions memorized. We could say that Jesus is God. We could even go to Bible college and learn Greek and Hebrew and the Confessions of Faith. But just as Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, are you hearing this warning? That Jesus has not saved us only for us to acknowledge him with our lips, but to follow him with our lives. See, for me personally, this is a warning against professional Christianity. Of me thinking, well, I'm a minister. I'm ordained. But is my life really reflecting the faith that I preach? Well, I hope that in a lot of ways, yes. But also, sadly, in a lot of ways, not really. Not that I have to earn my faith, but that my actions ought to be the fruit of my faith. Let's say that you claim to be a Michelin star chef. You have all the cooking books, all the pots and pans, the sharpest knives, the most premium ingredients. You've even watched every episode of MasterChef and taken notes. But if you've done all of these things and have all these things but never cooked a single meal in your whole life, can you really claim to be a chef? Well, no. Likewise, our claim to faith should be matched by the fruit of our faith. A changed life. Good deeds. And these aren't two separate things. No, rather, faith and action work together. Jesus uses two examples from Israel's history to point out that faith always results in deeds and actions. Firstly, he mentions Abraham and then Rahab. Both believed in God, both had faith in God, but also both also worked for God. Both the great patriarch Abraham and the Gentile prostitute Rahab. Look at me at verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And as the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now let's unpack this. Let's get this order correct. In Genesis 15, God promised Abraham that he and his wife would have a son, and that from this son, a great nation was to be born. Then Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's chapter 15, verse 6 of Genesis. Then Isaac was born in chapter 21, and then the testing that James mentions happens in Genesis chapter 22. See, Abraham's faith was there before his works. His righteousness was declared before his work in obedience to God, but his works always proved his faith. He went to offer up his son to God in obedience to him, believing in him, working for God as an evidence of this great faith. His faith led him to obey God. His righteousness or rightness with God was made visible by what he did. It was validated by what he did. And so do ours. Our faith and action ought to work together and lead us to obedience to the will of God and to live for his glory. And then our faith is living out its purpose, reaching its completion, its end goal. See, remember, we haven't been saved to live a life of comfort, to live a life of pious ease, or live for our health and wealth. But rather, we are saved in order to live in relationship with God and live for him. Martin Luther famously wrote that we are saved by faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. This is the same with Rahab, the prostitute. She must have heard about Yahweh, must have heard about God before the spies came into Jericho to spy out the promised land. She demonstrated her faith in her actions by saving the life of the spies. Her faith and actions work together as a fulfillment of God's promises and for God's purposes. And so James concludes in verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. See, faith without deeds is really no faith at all. But it's shallow. And it's empty. See, one of the biggest belief blockers for people to come to believe in Jesus is the hypocrisy of Christians. That is, Christians who claim to have faith, but it does not impact their lives. But James is saying here that there ought to be no hypocrisy in Christians because real faith always works. Faith always leads to a changed life. And this means different things for different people. It could mean serving in a soup kitchen or giving to the poor. That actually seems quite appropriate given what we've already seen in James. It could mean living generously and faithfully in front of your friends and your family who aren't Christian. This always means prioritizing God in family life and in our diaries. It always means remaining diligent and faithful in prayer for the world and for the church. Not that we have to tick off a list or walk up to heaven with a badge of our achievements. No, but simply that we ought to bring every area of our lives to obedience to Christ. Now, there could be some people here today who consider themselves a follower of Jesus simply by nature of being in church. Maybe you are here and you're a fan of Jesus, but it hasn't resulted in a changed life. See, if you profess faith, but actually don't live into it, then be warned. Jesus calls us to repent, to turn all our lives towards him. Faith without this action is dead. On the flip side, there may be some of us who find this passage really quite confronting. Our love seems often cold. Our service half-hearted. Our actions weak. Passages like this can really question us if we really have turned to Christ. Well, if this is you today and you're asking these types of questions, please have this assurance that we aren't saved because of the good works that we do, but rather by what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection. So take heart. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and continue to live for him. You are loved. You are saved. So go on and continue to live out your faith in good actions and in good deeds, not trusting in your own goodness, but in God's love for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your amazing grace and your amazing love. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to bring every area of our lives under the obedience to Christ. Keep us from a shallow faith, from a half-hearted faith, from an empty faith that does not result in a changed life. But may our lives and actions and deeds glorify you in everything. We pray this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen.